Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We're rowdier than I feel. You all must have got your sleep last night, got to bed early, and ready for the time change. We're glad that you made it here with us this morning as we gather to praise and worship God. You see up on the screen, Chip has made everybody aware, and if you didn't see it already, we had some celebrities this week. Rosalie was on the news as the weather kid. And Ty was on the 6 o'clock news last night, is that right? Ty organized that golf tournament yesterday, and they had about 20 folks come out and play. Do we know how much was raised for our backpack program? $900. There's Ty in the back. Great job. Because an eighth grader decided that he wanted to help our backpack program. That's awesome. Ty, did you want to tell us anything about this, or are you?
I'd just like to ask everybody that contributed or played yesterday to please stand to be recognized.
Thank you to those folks. I tell you what, Ty, I think it would be most appropriate if you would hold on to this and put it in the offering plate when we pass the plate.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. And a job well done. We're proud of you, Ty. Lots of other things to draw your attention to. Most of them are in the bulletin, but I know how the bulletin works. Just so you're aware, we are still, we have two more weeks of Wednesday Lenten services. We've had a great crowd at those this year again. We do have a meal that's going to be provided by a family this Wednesday. So we had talked about the possibility of doing a potluck, but it is not a potluck this Wednesday. Come and eat. Unless you hear otherwise, we'll plan on doing a potluck next Wednesday. And remember, we just have two of those left because on Holy Week, while we get together on Thursday and Friday, and then on Sunday, we don't do a Wednesday service during Holy Week. I'm going to plug again. Synod Assembly is coming up the 1st and 2nd of June, and we need a couple of folks to go and be voting members for us at Synod Assembly, if that would be something you'd be willing to do. Or if that would be something you're not really willing, but I could convince you to do. You need to let me know that, and we'll talk some more about it. And then finally, March the 15th, which is this week, is the last day to get early bird pricing for camp registration. So if that's something you've been thinking about, don't miss out on that cheaper pricing. The church will cover a significant portion of your camp registration at Luther Ridge or Luther Rock or Camp Agape, but you can save yourself $40 or $50 if you do it by March the 15th. I think we've got at least one thank you note to read. As she's getting ready for that, are there other announcements we should be aware of for the good of the community this week?
Thank you for your kindness in the loss of our beloved son, husband, father, brother, uncle, and Poppy Steve. He was the inspiration that held us together as a family. We had so many plans when he moved his family back to North Carolina from Texas, but God had other plans for him. We all know he is in a better place and is not in pain anymore. We appreciate the prayers, visits, prayer shawls, and food provided at the funeral. May God bless each of you, and please continue to keep us in your prayers. The John Robert Curry family.
We wish happy birthday this week to a whole crowd of folks. To Keith, Michael, Lindsay, Carl, Alex, Carson, Kendra, Drew, Cody, Terry, Finn, Ty, Gavin, and Dee, and happy anniversary to Gary and Judy. Are there other folks we should add to that list?
Me.
We love you, Conrad, but we'll pray for your birthday another time. Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful, Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our worship continues on page 94 in the front of your book. We stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We continue on page 147. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join me up here for the children's message.
Daddy.
Hey, buddy. Can you sit right here, please, with everybody? Good morning, guys. Hey, Calvin. Okay. You guys know that God loves you, right? Yeah? Have you heard that before, that God loves you? I think you know that. My question is, how much do you think God loves you?
A lot.
Your whole heart.
No.
Okay, well, I think you guys are on the right track with your whole heart and a whole lot. I was thinking about, you think we could measure? Let's see what we got here. Okay, I got a couple of things over here. What is this?
Measuring cup.
A measuring cup. You think we could measure God's love with this? How many scoops do you think it would be?
One.
Okay, well, this could go on for a while. Yeah. Can we measure God's love with this, you think?
No.
No? Yeah, I think you guys are right. Actually, there's a psalm that it's a pretty popular one that talks about when we think about God and what God has done for us, our cup overflows. So if it's going to overflow, this isn't going to be real helpful, is it?
No.
Okay. Well, I wore my watch today. I don't usually wear my watch. What do you do with a watch?
Tell time.
You can tell time, but you could also like use it like a stopwatch almost and see how long something lasts, right? Do you think we could use my watch to measure God's love for us?
No.
Like I could start it now and then I could stop it whenever God's love for us ends. Do you think that would work? No, yeah. In fact, there's another psalm that talks about God being from eternity to eternity. So yeah, this watch isn't going to do me a lot of good. I got one more. Gracie, can you reach around there and see what's in there and grab it for me so I don't have to walk all over you? Ooh, yeah. You know what this is?
It's a measure.
It's a measure thing. Yeah. It's not a ruler. It's well, we're going to talk about that. This is not a ruler, and it's not a measuring tape. This is called a yardstick. Do people still use yardsticks? I feel like a yardstick is a little old-fashioned, but I was Conrad thinks this can measure God. We're going to talk about if that's true. This has 36 inches on it. That's 1 yard. Come here, Conrad. Stand up next to this. Whoa, this can't even measure you all the way. You're taller than this, so this isn't really helpful. This won't even really measure you. Thank you. You can sit down. Do you think? Okay, come here. We'll try one more. You're cheating. Okay, yeah, no, that cannot measure you. It would be hard. We'd have to move it up and down, and I don't know if it would be exact. So if this can't even measure us, do you think that it could measure God? No, there's a psalm that talks about the glory of God being higher than the heavens. We can't measure God with this, can we? This isn't going to tell us about how big God's love is. What do we look at then to know how much God loves us? How in the world are we going to be able to tell about this?
He loves us as much as the world.
I'll tell you what. Here's how we think about it. We're going to read a verse today that says God loved the world so much that he gave his only son for us. Who is God's only son?
Jesus,
right. God loves us so much that God gives us Jesus. That's how we know that God loves us. And so much, in fact, that Jesus, turn around and look what's hanging up from the ceiling over there. What's that? The cross. God loves us so much that Jesus comes not just to be with us, but even to die on the cross. Because God loves us and God cares for us so much. So when we talk about God's love, we can't measure it with a ruler or a yardstick. We can't keep track of it on our watch. We can't measure it in a measuring cup. When we want to know how much God loves us, we look at Jesus, who for us brings life and salvation. Okay? That's how much God loves us, and it's wonderful news. Will you pray with me? Okay, thank you. Repeat after me. Lord God, thank you for loving us so much that you send us Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks for helping me this morning. For those of you that are going to Children's Church, you can line up at the door over here with Miss Susan, okay? And you're also welcome to stay with us.
The first reading is from Numbers on this fourth Sunday in Lent. From Mount Or, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke out against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out into the Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and for the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 107, and we'll read the whole thing together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
From the east and from the west, from the north and from the
some were sick
through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy.
The second reading is from Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Be seated. So Carol read from the book of Numbers this morning that God instructs Moses to make a pole with a poisonous serpent on it, and anyone who is bitten will look at it and live, which is a weird thing to do, I'll grant you, the whole snake on a pole thing. But the whole deal, this snake on a pole, it's about healing. And maybe it's not as weird as it seems at first, because we actually still to this day think of healing when we see a snake on a pole. Anybody ever seen this one before? Well, if I can get it to work. Anybody ever seen that before? This was originally, this snake on a pole, the symbol of the American Medical Association, and Now you see it on most all ambulances, and there are literally dozens of other medical associations that use some variation of this snake on a pole. They use it as a symbol of healing. If you happen to be sitting on a Blue Cross Blue Shield card in your wallet, your insurance card, you'll see it there. And it's because all of these companies have keyed into the fact that when we see this snake on a pole, healing is what we think of. So much so that a fair number of companies and even some medical associations actually incorrectly use this symbol, which is not historically having anything to do with healing. It's the staff of the Greek god Hermes, and it doesn't really reference healing at all, except it's got snakes on it and there's a pole, and so people see that and associate it with healing. For us, though, as Christians, the reason any of this is relevant is because Jesus talks about this snake on a pole that God had Moses to put up to heal the people. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So when Jesus talks about the Son of Man being lifted up, you know what he's getting at? It's the cross, right? Jesus is comparing what's going to happen to him on the cross with what happened with Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. Namely, healing is what we're talking about. That's what Jesus says is going on in the cross, which again is a little weird because the Romans intended the cross to be about pain, about shame, about public humiliation. But Jesus says it's about something different, healing. What the Romans intended for harm and evil, well, God intended for good in Jesus Christ. So, on the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, God transforms sin, death, and darkness into light and life. And this is really amazing news for all of us who have been captive to sin and death. But here's the thing. If you are used to darkness, well, then light is unpleasant sometimes at first. Every morning, Marcus calls out to me. Usually I'm still asleep, and I go get him out of his crib, usually before the sun comes up. And there's only one thing on his mind as soon as I pick him up. Until I get there, it's daddy, daddy, daddy. But as soon as I touch him, it's milk, milk, milk. So in the dark, we go to the refrigerator, and without fail, as soon as we open the door, he jerks his face away and he covers his face and he goes, eyes bright, bright. Because when you're used to the dark, even if it's only a refrigerator bulb, that sudden bright light is unpleasant. And this, Jesus says, is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light. You don't have to look too terribly far to find plenty of people, plenty of sermons out there who take this passage from the third chapter of John and will use it to tell you that what God is about is condemning those who don't believe, that you better decide to accept Jesus right now or eternal fiery torment is what God has in store for you. And that makes me go, huh? Do they even read this passage? God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Saved, that's the opposite of condemnation. And in fact, the third chapter of John does not say a word about God condemning anybody. but that they are condemned already. In other words, God doesn't decide, I think I'm going to torture some of these folks today. No, condemnation is just the mess all of us are in as long as we are captive to the powers of sin and death. That's what condemnation looks like. And the whole point of this passage from the third chapter of John is that God loves us and is not okay with that. God wants more for us than that condemnation. So let's listen to this familiar verse with new ears this morning. God so loved the world, which says to us that it all starts with love, and not just love for the especially good folks or the beautiful folks or the smart folks. God so loved the entire world that he gave, not as reward or payment, but as gift. God gave Jesus, God's only Son, so that all who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's who God is. The God who starts with love, who loves the whole world and gives of himself so that we would not perish, but have eternal life. So if we want to talk about judgment, sure, by all means, let's talk about judgment, but not the way that it gets used so often as a threat to try to scare people into heaven or at least coming to church and putting money in the plate. Let's talk about judgment the way Jesus talks about it. It's about Jesus entering into our world and bringing healing through the cross, lighting up the darkness with the brilliance of the sun, and us being so used to the dark that we're not sure we like it. I think about it like this, personally. It's like God is throwing the greatest party, better than you can possibly imagine, right? All the food is set out, all the best drinks are poured already, and you are invited, for that matter, the whole world is invited, summoned even, to this party. But the thing is, this party of the kingdom of God, it's going to be epic. God's been planning it forever. So God's not about to allow all the baggage of sin and death that we carry to come in and ruin this party. So come on in, God says. Let me help you check your baggage at the door. Believe, be transformed, be made new. And the judgment? It's that some of us would rather cling to our baggage of sin and death than come to the party. Because, well, the baggage is familiar and it's mine and I'm used to it. So instead of joining in with God in the fullness of life, instead of coming to the party, we choose to pout in the parking lot. That's judgment. My parents talk about when I was young, from about the age Marcus is now until I was about 3 or 4, and apparently, I threw the worst tantrums. I know it's hard to believe because I'm sort of lovely now. But it was so bad that they'd tell me that I had to march myself into the bedroom and shut the door and not come out until I was ready to quit that mess. And in the bedroom, I'd scream and roll around on the floor and kick the door and scuff the walls and throw myself on the bed. And this would go on for 15 or 20 minutes. Until finally, when things quieted down, my parents would open the door just a crack and look in and say, "Okay, are you done? Are you ready to come out now?" And I'd yell, "No!" And I'd kick the door closed and I'd scream again and I'd roll and I'd flail and I'd refuse to give it up until exhaustion set in and I would eventually fall asleep in there. And here's the thing, I was tall enough, I knew how to open the door. I could have come out any time I decided that I was done with this tantrum. But that's not the way it went down. Instead, I'd refuse, and I'd stew in my own misery. This is God's judgment, that the light forever is accessible to us, but us holding out in the dark. Because, sisters and brothers, God loves us, values us beyond measure, loves the whole world that much, in fact. But God does not love, God will not welcome the sin and death to which we choose so often to cling. God judges those things unequivocally not worthy of God's kingdom. Which is why God is at work even now through the cross and the Holy Spirit to transform and redeem us and the whole of the world that God so loves. The drinks are poured, the table is set, and the light of Christ has come into the world to heal us. It's bright, painful at first, maybe, but it's what we're made for. And it sure beats the dark. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus.
Let's reaffirm what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Renewed in the promise of our baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Gracious Lord, we pray for your church. Direct and guide us in following your will. Grant us clarity in the midst of confusion, and give us courage in the face of challenge. Make us passionate, Lord, to share the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the nations. Grant wisdom to our leaders. Teach us to resolve conflicts without violence. Strengthen those who protect human rights, and civil liberties. Protect those who risk their lives for the sake of others. Bring an end, God, to warfare, famine, and hunger. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those in any need, for those who lack meaningful employment or stable housing, for those who live with mental illness, for those who have chronic pain, and for all who are grieving, sick, or injured, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Maddie, Barbara, Bill, and Betty, the family of Steve, Harold, Marshall and Billy, Gracie, the family of Emily, Alice, David, Scott, Jeff, the family of Bob, Chuck, Ricky Ann, Boyd, the family of Mike, Elena and Kelly, David and Kelly, the family of Dorothy, Brianna, the family of Kay, Brad, David, Judy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for this gathered assembly. We pray for those the world over who are preparing for baptism. We pray for those who work healing in this our community. We pray for those who here in this place make prayer shawls. We pray for ministries of prayer and visitation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting, O God, in your covenant of mercy, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. It's our preview of that feast. This is Christ's meal for all the baptized. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement found on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.